Oh, that's right. We are right here, Sharp Fastest Gallery this morning. I'm Ann Eller, and I have Dr. G. Key Smith on the line with us. He is a board-certified anesthesiologist in private practice since 1990. In 1997, he co-founded the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, an outpatient surgery center. And he, Oklahoma owned by 40 of the top physicians and surgeons in central Oklahoma. Dr. Smith also serves as a medical director, CEO, and managing partner while managing an active practice. So Dr. Smith is here to talk about the Unaffordable Care Act and what will it look like a year from now. Dr. Smith, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
We certainly are looking forward to hearing more of what you have to say. You know, they say the 1st of August that we're going to see a lot of health care premiums go up for individual policies. I do have to tell you, I was rather surprised yesterday evening when I went home and Blue Cross Blue Shield has sent me a refund for the last year of $197.
Yeah, and Blue Cross Blue Shield is a gigantic company that can afford to do that. That's the result of a part of the Obamacare Unaffordable Care Act called the medical loss ratio, where the companies, the insurance companies, are required to spend 80% of the premiums they collect on health care. That all sounds great, but the real purpose of that was to create a consolidation in the insurance industry so only the gigantic companies remained. Because that is very doable for a company, you know, the size of one of the Blues, like Blue Cross. That is not easy to do and easy to comply with for the smaller insurance companies. So I believe the purpose of that whole rebate scam and the medical loss ratio deal is to force the smaller insurance companies out of business so only the few giants remain.
Well, I figured it had to do, they were just kind of greasing me up for what was going to happen next.
That's part of it, too. And, yeah, and I mean, and then the Unaffordable Care Act, the whole purpose of this bill, I think it's becoming increasingly clear, is to drive the price of insurance and health care so high and to create such market chaos that we will beg Uncle Sam, you know, to ride in on his horse and rescue us with the sequel, which is single payer. So this bill is meant to fail. It's meant to make health care and insurance completely unaffordable. And then we'll beg the government to save us. And I think a lot of people will go down that road.
So you're saying that we're seeing the end of private insurance potentially?
Well, you know, the government never gets it right, and that's the good news. So in spite of all their attempts to crush private medicine, I think what's going to happen is as prices go up, people will respond and they'll increase their deductible exposure.
Sure.
And a lot of people will decide to pay the very cheap penalties and avoid buying the expensive insurance. And that's going to create, much to the chagrin of the central planners in Washington, that's going to create a healthcare consumer market that is unlike anything we've seen in this country since the 1950s, where people are actually paying out of their pocket for health care. And people that pay out of their pocket for things always ask the same question. They always want to know how much does it cost, and they want to know up front. And that's going to have a very deflationary effect on health pricing in the United States. And that is probably the undoing of the Unaffordable Care Act. As prices fall, that is inimical to the desires of the planners who are trying to make this so expensive that, you know, only they can rescue us.
You know, one of the things that I have heard and I see that you are doing is you don't take insurance, do you?
We take some insurance. Some of the insurance carriers are more abusive than others, and we don't deal with them at all. But, you know, a lot of people are paying a lot of money for their insurance, and so we, as a courtesy, will file that for them because they have that benefit. We are trying to move completely away from dealing with the big carriers because they distort prices and they distort the market so much. We're just saying, here's what we do, and here's how much we charge for it. And we've put almost all of those prices online now. And I'm happy to say people all over the United States are printing out our prices and using those prices to leverage a better deal in their local market, because none of these big hospital administrators wants to see people from South Carolina or Alaska or anywhere else get on a plane and fly to Oklahoma City and have their surgery and come back and tell them how great it was and how affordable it was. But that's what's going on. People are coming here from all over the country and even in Canada and even outside of the country.
So what is that website where we can check this out?
It's surgerycenterok.com. And if you need surgery, I mean, we're here and the physicians are outstanding. The facility is first class. But people owe it to themselves to check out the website just so that they can look at, you know, how does the local medical market stack up in their pricing. We know that our pricing is a fraction, many times a sixth or even a tenth of what the local so-called not-for-profit hospitals charge.
Sure.
But in spite of all of the poor mouthing of these big city hospitals, they are getting rich. They're building everywhere. They're buying physician practices. And it's just what they're doing and what they're saying just don't add up most of the time.
Well, you know, you're describing Greenwood, South Carolina, because that's exactly what's happening with us right here.
Yeah, you know, they say that our emergency room is killing us. So we're seeing all these uninsured patients. Well, why is there a crane in front of every one of them building on? I mean, if you owned a business, would you expand your loss leader? And so what they say and what they do, they're just not the same. Physician practices are, you know, a lot of guys are succumbing to these hostile takeovers by the hospitals, and physicians are just selling their practices.
Aren't a lot of physicians afraid of what the future holds, so they're doing this just to be able to protect themselves, maybe?
Yes, and that was one of the goals of the Unaffordable Care Act, was to create just intense fear amongst physicians so that they would surrender, because physicians that work for the hospitals would be much easier to control than independent physicians who are just unapologetic patient advocates. I think this movement toward hospital employment of physicians is very destructive of the doctor-patient relationship. And an organization that I'm intensely involved with, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, really gets that, whereas the AMA, I don't even know anybody that belongs to the AMA. They get most of their money from Uncle Sam. The AMA, they've sold out a long time ago. And it's just that organization, that nobody should be paying attention to them.
So as we move forth here, of course, they put off for another year the employer mandate, but the employee mandate, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that's going to come to pass, or?
I don't know. You know, I remain convinced that this Unaffordable Care Act was meant to fail, and it's created chaos. You know, here we have this law that Congress has passed and this man in the White House has signed, and then they just suspend its implementation. I don't understand that. But part of the reason for this bill was to inject chaos into the marketplace, and nobody even knows what's coming. You know, large parts of this bill have yet to be written.
You know, I think it's very interesting. You know, we have been searching for people to come on and talk to us about this. I can't find anybody in insurance to come on and talk to us and let us know what's going to happen.
Well, the large insurance players love this, and the proof of that is just to watch what happened to their stocks on Wall Street the day after Justice Roberts ruled on its constitutionality. And the big hospital systems love this. They wrote this bill along with Big Pharma and the people who are involved in this electronic medical records industry, which had a very limited market, and now this Unaffordable Care Act has turned a lot of those people, thanks to the lobbying of Newt Gingrich and his type, it's made a lot of those people billionaires, because they now are peddling a product, the purchase of which is mandatory under this law. So this law has accomplished many of the things, even as it comes apart, and even as they suspend the implementation of parts of it, this law has accomplished many of the things they intended for it to, because it's just crony capitalism at its finest. You know, small hospitals are selling to the big boys. Physicians are succumbing to hostile takeovers and becoming hospital employees. Small insurance companies are getting out of the business and selling to the big boys. I mean, this is crony capitalism, and you can see the smoking gun of government corruption anytime you see industry consolidation, and it really is rampant in medicine thanks to this silly law.
Well, is there any hope for the future, or if you're saying that it's created chaos, will there be what will be the outcome, do you think, as you're sitting here today?
Well, I am very hopeful because there are two paths. After the federal government tries its best to crash the system, what they're hoping emerges from that is single payer, where all of their crony friends can divide the country up like wolves and just devour us all. But there's a chance, and this is why I'm hopeful, there's a chance that because this new consumer market is being created, very paradoxically, and this is very worrisome for the people in Washington, as people begin paying for their own health care, mm-hmm. and costs begin to fall, just like they have with LASIK surgery and plastic surgery, that is going to open people's eyes. And if people will look at our website, they'll see that, health care really, it doesn't cost that much, but what we're being charged for it is another thing altogether. And so there is a chance, and I believe this will happen, that people will understand that the principles of the free market apply in medicine, and that physicians and facilities and drug companies, everybody else should have to endure the discipline of the free market that every other industry in this country has had to endure. And it, it's competition makes us all better, and it drives prices through the floor. And I'm hopeful that it will go that direction. I'm actually optimistic.
Optimistic. Okay. Well, and so for the meantime, for people that are just kind of stuck in the middle here, we're looking at insurance premiums going up?
Yes, and I think what will happen is people will react to that, and they'll increase their deductibles. If your insurance premium is going to double in many parts of the country, it's going to even more than double, then, you're going to increase your own risk and increase your deductible. And that way, it's becoming catastrophic insurance, which is really what it's supposed to be anyway.
Sure.
Keep in mind, too, in Massachusetts, it's not uncommon for a 25 or 30-year-old healthy person to be paying $2,500 a month for their insurance. And what are they insuring against? They're insuring against some catastrophic loss like heart surgery. Well, here in Oklahoma City, one of my colleagues is doing heart surgery. They're doing open heart surgery for about $30,000. Well, $2,500 a month times 12 months is $30,000. So if you just didn't buy insurance in Massachusetts and you banked that money, paid it to yourself for a year, you would basically have self-insured yourself against something that previously you might think was catastrophic. But I think as prices begin to fall, and they begin to fall rapidly, the $150,000 or $200,000 heart surgery, if it becomes $30,000 or $32,000, people will look at this insurance game very, very differently, and it will be very healthy.
Don't you think, though, also part of the Unaffordable Care Act is the fact that you don't have to get insurance till you need it?
Yeah, but that, just think about this. That's like people now buying homeowners insurance after their home has already caught fire.
Yes.
Well, what do you think that's going to do to the premiums for everybody else? I mean, in order to cover those situations, it's just going to drive the premiums through the roof. These people, they're not stupid. They knew exactly what eliminating pre-existing conditions would do to the price of insurance. And once again, I believe it's made to fail, and it's made for us to all welcome the sequel, which is single payer.
Well, so you believe, I guess, that there is hope for the future.
Yes, I am optimistic. I think that we're already seeing this in the United States, where people are printing out our prices and they're leveraging better deals. We have people that are copying our model, not just here in Oklahoma City, but in other parts of the country. People are beginning to wake up and realize that healthcare in the United States is not a free market. It acts more like a cartel, like a price-fixing cartel. Mm-hmm. And I think people are waking up and they're realizing, you know, this is crony capitalism. This is an arrangement where, you know, the big dogs in Washington, D.C. have, you know, written a piece of legislation, and just like any other thing that oozes out of Washington, it lines the pockets of the folks who wrote or promoted it or paid for it. And this healthcare bill is no different. It's so egregious and so outrageous, though, that I think the people in the United States are really beginning to see this.
Well, you know, one of the things, it kind of sounds like, it's kind of like when you buy a car anymore. You can go on the Internet, compare your best price, and then take it to the dealership.
That's right. And more, you'll be able to go to websites that are going to actually provide pricing. There's one out of Houston called Snap Health, and there's one called Healthcare Blue Book, where you can actually look and see, you know, what some of these prices should be. I think we're still the only ones in the United States that are actually posting prices online at our facility. But I know there's a place in South Carolina there, I think an orthopedic surgeon who has some prices online. And there's a hernia surgeon in Las Vegas, Nevada that has put some prices online. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And people, rather than, you know, leaving the United States and going to Bangkok or Costa Rica to, you know, have affordable, high-quality surgery, they're going to be able to stay here in the United States and know, you know, they're going to a quality facility here domestically. And I think the medical tourism business, where people leave the United States and go to foreign countries, it may stop once we, you know, allow price transparency to flourish here in the country.
Well, it'll just be like your destination, Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's even talk here in Oklahoma of some of the public officials promoting the state of Oklahoma as a medical tourist destination and as a low-cost healthcare spot for businesses to land, because multiple facilities here in Oklahoma City are starting to do what we're doing, that you call them and you ask, you know, how much is a colonoscopy? And they'll tell you, you know, it's $600. Or how much is a four-vessel, you know, cardiac bypass? Well, it's $32,000. Or how much is a total hip arthroplasty? It's $18,000 here in Oklahoma City. So people are starting to ask those questions, and then they scratch their heads and wonder, well, you know, why at this big health system in Texas did they charge $175,000? Or this fellow that we took care of from Washington State, who was quoted $175,000 for his spine fusion in his neck. And I think we did the whole thing for $16,500. So I just think people are waking up, and some of the information is out there now. It's certainly on our website. And they need to be asking about the cost and stop worrying about everyone having coverage. That is such a mistake, and that really plays into the hands of the big insurance and big hospital lobby. Forget about everyone having coverage. Let's deal with the cost and have some healthy competition that will drive the price down so low that even the poor can afford health care.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and that sounds like what our country was actually founded on.
It is. I mean, it is. It's based on free enterprise, and it's based on the notion of property rights. So, I don't know. It went wrong a long time ago with just some interventions like changing the tax code so that employers can buy insurance with pre-tax dollars and individuals can't. And then we had the Hill-Burton Act, which created all these greedy community hospitals, you know, and these not-for-profit hospitals, that really is, what that really means is they don't pay tax. It's obvious the way they act and the way they're building on and trying to create health empires. It's obvious that they're interested in making a profit.
Sure.
So I really think people are waking up to all this.
You know, though, wasn't it really the insurance company, though, that decided how much things would cost based on how much they would pay?
Yeah, and that followed Medicare's lead. You know, when Medicare came out in the 60s, none of the physicians really wanted anything to do with it. So Medicare bribed all the doctors in by saying, you just send us a bill and we'll pay it. We'll pay whatever you charge. And that was the only way Medicare could really get started in the country. And the physicians succumbed to that. Then later on, this idiot at Harvard figures out some formula called the resource-based relative value scale. And he just assigned values to physician services and to diagnoses based on where you live and degrees of difficulty and all of this silly stuff. And it was just wrong. I mean, the idea that you can assign a price to something rather than let that price emerge from a competitive market is the fatal conceit that Friedrich Hayek talks about in The Road to Serfdom. And people should look at that book and read about that, because prices are never the same from day to day at a gas station, in a grocery store. And it depends on what the competition is doing. It depends on new efficiencies and technologies that are introduced. So the idea that some all-knowing, faceless bureaucrat can assign a price to what a cardiac surgeon should be paid or what I should be paid as an anesthesiologist, it's just silly beyond belief.
Well, it certainly is. You brought up a lot of good points here today. Now, that website that we can check out to see what we should be paying, according to your site, how much, where is it?
our website is surgerycenterok.com, and the price is there. I'm adding new prices to it every day. The prices there include the surgeon, the anesthesia, and the facility fees, so they're all inclusive. And there's also a link there to my blog where I explain some of these things more fully.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Keith Smith, thanks so much for calling us today. I hope we can call on you again when we have more questions.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, sounds great.